Shalom, Havarim. Hello, friends. He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Excellent. Good to see you all here today. Have you ever had those friends that come to you with, like, investment opportunities? That wasn't the joke yet, but all right. Got them warmed up already. That's a good sign. No, like the people that just like come up to you, they expect you to invest in something like, oh, I've got this great idea, this great plan. All I need you to do is give a little bit of money and you'll like get that right back. Not only will you get your money right back, you will make twice the money that you gave to me. Well, I heard about this plan, this investment idea someone had in investing in ancient Egyptian tombs. They wanted, where they bury the pharaohs? They wanted you to give money and they would put it into these ancient Egyptian tombs. And I did some research into it. Turns out it was just a pyramid scheme. If you have a better joke than that, I invite you. Next week, we are celebrating Holy Humor Sunday. Save it for next week. Let me know if you have a joke you want me to tell for you, or if you want to come and share your joke. Every year, the Sunday after Easter is kind of an unofficial holiday, Holy Humor Sunday, where you celebrate the biggest joke ever told, on where Jesus played the joke on evil. Pulled the old switcheroo. Bring some jokes. We'll be sharing those next week. The only other joke that I had this morning, I can't really tell it, and it's hard to read, but I shared this online, and some of you already saw it. I like this idea that there is this tomb for sale somewhere over there in Israel. For sale, single-owner tomb, only used 3 days, and still has that new tomb smell. Reason for sale? Resident was resurrected. It's funnier when you read it online, right? No, jokes are actually kind of hard to come by online, because if you do a Google search for Easter jokes, you get a lot of jokes about bunnies and about Easter eggs. There's not a lot of jokes about empty tombs. So, but maybe I don't even have to have a good joke. People are giggly this morning. What was in the donuts? I don't know. So today we're not talking about bunnies, and we're not talking about eggs or even donuts. Actually, one more tangent. On Thursday, we were sitting over here, and Dwayne was having a conversation with one of his children about the significance of having donuts for Easter Sunday morning. And I think he gave a very theological spin. He said, donuts are very appropriate for Easter morning because they're like an empty tomb. You cannot hold Jesus in. He can go right through the hole. So donuts are a very theological and Easter-like dish. Anyways, that is not what we're talking about today. We are focusing on the empty tomb. And the empty tomb is just this real weird kind of image, I think, for the church. It's really weird, but I think it's appropriate because it stands for so much. It symbolizes so much. And I tried to show the children with that empty gift bag that the gift that we've been given is that evil doesn't have the last say. That death and dying is not the last word. That in the end, God does win. You just missed a good chance to like break out into claps and applause and celebration, because in the end, God does win. Yeah, victory in the name of Jesus. Now, also, we have just come through this period known as Lent. And some people kind of like Lent. Lent is this weird time where we celebrate our own mortality. That's a fancy way of saying we are going to die one day. Nobody said woohoo for that one. We are going to die. How do we begin Lent? There's this service of the ashes where you put the ash on someone's forehead on Ash Wednesday, and they say, from dust you were made, and to dust you will return. Yeah. And then for like the next couple of weeks, we talk about our own like coming death. We talk about our failures. We talk about the fallenness of the world. And people say that Christians aren't a good time. I joke about that stuff, but you know what? I feel like I need that. I need that reminder every now and then that the world is broken. I need that reminder that in the end, God does win. And to be honest, I get kind of sick and tired of those Christians who are just like always happy. Like the people that just always walk around with some sort of a smile on their face. Like it's just like it's always forced. Like we need to be real. And I didn't realize till later, like his eyes match his tie. Like that's next level. I get tired of that kind of Christian. And I get why people are that kind of Christian. But that just doesn't reflect reality. There's somewhere in between. I think we need to find a chance to remember that the world is broken. There are things about this world that aren't as we would have them. They aren't as God wants them to be. And in the midst of all of that suffering, we also remember that in the end, God does win. In the end, love does succeed in winning the day. So today, I'm not just focusing on an empty tomb. And we're not just focusing on the bad stuff. Today, I want to hear stories of goodness, stories of successes, stories of victory. Today I want you to
tell me something good. Tell me that you love me. Yeah.
Let's be honest, have you ever gone to a church service where they played Chaka Khan?
Tell me something good.
You cannot say that any longer.
Tell me that you like it.
That's it. I can go back to it again. Don't worry. It comes back up later in the service. Today we're going to focus on the good. Because as much as I want to remember the bad, and I think Lent is that for us, I also need to be trained to remember the good. I think that we probably all go through these cycles where I'll just speak for myself. I get so caught up in the bad. I see the bad around me. I see the bad in my family, I see the bad in the world, I see the bad in the community, and for goodness sakes, I have to at times just turn off the cable news because it's all filled with bad. And it's really easy for me to get in the habit of just focusing on the bad, on the fallenness, on the brokenness. I need someone to remind me to focus on the good as well. And I think that Easter is exactly that for us in the church. So today we're going to look at some of the good. So what I wanted to do this morning is share with you a couple of stories, and I realize that my time is rather short because we are focusing on music this morning. But one of the things that I want to admit to you all today, I guess confession is a part of Lent, and maybe I'm running a little late in my confession period, but I really like carbs. I don't know how to take that. Thank you. Like, I like carbs. Am I alone? No, like, we had donuts here this morning, and there's a reason that I showed up early. And when you are the one that goes and buys the donuts, you're allowed to, like, sample a few on the way. Confession is good for the soul. I like my carbohydrates. I could sit down every night and have a plate of spaghetti. It would not be good for me because I have the metabolism of a turtle, but, like, I would enjoy that. That would be good for me. And one of the things that I kind of indulge in every now and then, I have this guilty pleasure of enjoying a bowl of cereal in the evening. I'm not alone again. Some of you, you can say, preach it, brother. Amen. Sarah Dell's giving me the thumbs up. Lucky Charms. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Fruity Pebbles. My personal go-to lately has been the Morning Summit Lightly Sweetened Maple Berry Blend Cereal from Costco. It's filling? Is that what you said?
It's healthy?
Yeah, sure. I keep telling myself that too. Like, it's healthy as I have my third or fourth bowl. So recently I sat down. My family was gone, so don't tell them about this. They were away, and it's kind of one of those things like, I'm probably not the only one. Like, my family's away. Nobody's going to know if I have a bowl of cereal at 7 p.m. in the evening. Not that there's anything wrong with that. So I get my box of Morning Summit Lightly Sweetened Maple Berry Blend Cereal from Costco. I'm not a paid endorser. It's not a paid endorsement. But if you want to send me a free box, let me know. I sit down and I have my bowl of this. I fill it with the cereal and I go to the refrigerator. And I open the door and I start looking around for the milk. And I have to start moving things out of the way. That's not a good sign. I heard it. You recognize this. This is not a good sign. I have to move a few things out of the way. And finally, I get to the milk. It's in the very back of the refrigerator. And I open that milk and I look at it, and it's a little skeptical. Like, I'm a little skeptical already. It's a little sus, as the kids might say. I think about it, like, do I go ahead and dump this on my cereal? And I give it a little sniff, and, you know, it's just not happening. So I have a couple of options. One of the things that I had to move out of the way to get to the milk was my wife's oat milk. Yeah, I know, right? Almond milk, oat milk, it doesn't matter, it ain't milk. I could eat the cereal dry. I could put my wife's almond oat milk on it. Or I could just throw the whole thing out and just like throw up my hands and do something else. What should I do? Walk to the store. Who said walk to the store? Okay, I'm going to give you three options. I can throw it out. I can use the oat milk. Remember, I'm the son of a dairy farmer. Or I could eat it dry. What am I going to do? Like, I'm not throwing the stuff out. Come on, there's still some goodness there. Let's be honest. Kathy Marsh says it's still healthy for you. Lightly sweetened. It's still good. Like, there's still crunchiness there. I could throw the whole thing out, or I could enjoy it a little less. Like, my whole experience, if I was to put the non-milk milk on it or just eat it dry, it's not as good as what I would have liked it to have been. But it doesn't mean I have to throw the whole thing out. And if I'm being honest with you today, there's times when I just want to throw the whole thing out. There's times when I just want to quit. I just want to stop whatever we're doing. Like, I haven't really considered it deeply, but there's times that I've thought about just like selling everything and buying a house out in the mountains somewhere where I could live off the grid, except for I would still be able to get like sports events and stuff like that on TV. I don't really know what living off the grid means. Like, I could just live there with my books and my television. My family would be able to come visit. I mean, my family. There's times when you just want to throw it all out and start over again. Whether it's religion, whether it's your work, whether it's your friends, whatever it is, you just want to start. Not my friends. But you just, like, you get the idea, right? Like, I just want to throw it all out. But I need to be reminded sometimes there's still goodness there. There is still things that I can appreciate. Maybe it's not what I wanted it to be. It might be my cereal with some oat milk instead of cow's milk. It might not be quite ideally the way I want it to be, but don't just throw it all away. There's some goodness to be had. And that's exactly what I think is happening here on Easter. I said it's a good reminder that things don't always turn out the way we want it to be. That first Easter, you know, we had these disciples that have been following Jesus for 3 years, including these women that show up at the tomb. Just a few days earlier, this one that they thought was going to be the Messiah, they saw him crucified. Everything that they had expected, they thought wasn't going to happen. And they could have just thrown it all out and said, forget it, I'm going to go live in the woods with my books and my ESPN and enjoy my life on my own, by myself, and probably been fine. But instead, they continued to search. They continued to look. And they could have thrown it all out. Instead, they found something even better. I think the important message is that we need to learn to look. I need to learn to look. My default mode is to just throw up my hands and say, forget it, I'm out. I need to be trained to keep looking. So it is the spring of the year. Spring is one of my four favorite seasons. And I've been showing... There's only four seasons? Oh, okay. You guys are paying attention. So I've been showing this picture. This is some cherry blossoms from our front yard. This is from the tree that grows in our yard. And I took this picture yesterday on the walk back from the farmer's market with my family. And Lo and Marlene brought this arrangement as well from their front yard as well. These are just reaching their peak. And I like spring more than some people because I'm not really affected by the pollen as much as some others. But there's something about just the blossoms, the newness of life, this reminder that things, even though they feel dead and dormant, there's new life that comes from that. New life springs up where once we experienced death and dying. And there's also this ritual. Somebody reminded me the other night that I've commented on before here in church services. It's this service that I have every year, this ritual that I go through. I call it the greening of the shoes. If some of you have heard me talk about the greening of the shoes. This is an event that takes place every year around the first week of April when I go outside my house and I mow the lawn for the first time. And after I sweat and go back and forth, making those lines perfectly straight, back and forth in the yard, I look out on all that I've done and I realize, it is good. And there's something about looking down at my shoes at the end of that day and I see that ring around my old running shoes and I just celebrate this day, this greening of the shoes. But you see, this year I had extra reason to celebrate because I experienced an Easter miracle. You see, I went out on that day when I began to celebrate the greening of the shoes and experienced something that I hadn't experienced for a number of years. When I went to start my lawnmower, it started on the fourth pole. Easter miracle. Come on now. Amen. All right. Some of you have been there. So how long does it usually take? Last year, the year before, I went out, the grass, I probably put it off too long, and I went out and tried to mow, and I got nowhere because the lawnmower wasn't going to cooperate. I had to take apart the carburetor and clean it. You ask John Willis, I'm going to tell you. I had to clean the carburetor. I had to drain the old gas out of the tank. I had to get some starting fluid, some ether to spray in there, and it took a little bit extra time. And then it took a little bit longer to mow because the grass had continued to grow. So that's why I say this was an Easter miracle. But I realized that it wasn't actually a miracle. It's because I did something before. It's because the year before, in the fall, when I put the lawnmower away for the year, I drained the old gas out. I took out the spark plug and I put in a new one. I did what you might call routine maintenance. And this is nothing that I invented. This is something that I learned from my friend Roger. Because Roger, and he gave me permission to tell this story. Roger, if you know where he lives, he's up on the hill. He's got a wonderful view from his house. But it also means that it's a really difficult driveway to get up in the middle of the winter. So Roger, and I'm sorry, people are going to come to you now. Roger has a really nice snowblower. He decided that he's going to go out and buy himself a snowblower so that whenever the snow does come, he can take care of the snow because he's got to be able to get in and out of his house. Now, Roger is very free with sharing his story. He, throughout the year, gets this snowblower out and he starts it. He runs it a little bit and then he puts it away again. And I just imagine being like Roger's next door neighbor. He lives out in the county. Like, if you live where I lived, and you got that snowblower out, like, it's the 4th of July. The neighbors be like, Roger, it's 90 degrees, what are you doing? But see, what Roger realizes is if he gets that thing out there, if he gets the snowblower out, if he runs it a little bit, even in the middle of July, that when he really needs that snowblower, it's going to work for him. So that's why I drained the gas. That's why I changed the spark plug. That's why I did a little bit of routine maintenance on my lawnmower. So that when I needed it, when it was time to start, when it was time to celebrate the greening of the shoes, it worked for me perfectly. I think this is really a good metaphor for our lives. Because like I said, I can tend to get bogged down. I can get very depressed. And there are reasons to get depressed. Don't let me be that guy that's just like painting over all the pain and suffering in the world. There are things to complain about. There are things to get down about. There are times when we need one another to carry the load, to carry the burden. There are people suffering in our world today. Don't get me wrong. I'm not all Pollyanna-ish about this. But if I get bogged down in that, it's not a good thing for me. I need routine maintenance for my soul. I need to be trained in the way of seeing the good around me. And I don't think I'm alone. I need that in my life. And the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters," these are like his departing words, he's writing to the church in Philippi. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." I don't think that Paul ignored the pain and suffering around him, but he realizes that pain and suffering will bog a person down. He needed to be trained in seeing the good, and he was training the people around him to see it as well. There are times, like I said, when I just want to quit. I just want to throw up my hands, move into that cabin in the woods, spend my time reading books, watching sports, ignoring people. I'm ready to give up on religion. I'm not ready to give up on God, but religion in general, it's let us all down. We know it has. People have hurt us and let us down. Maybe this church has hurt you and let you down. I understand that. But I think we need to be trained to see the good. And on that Easter Sunday, that first Easter Sunday, when the people looked around, more than just the milk had gone bad, they had lost their Messiah. But when they learned to look, and to really look, they found something even better. Now, during Lent, we've had this practice of sharing testimonies. And last week we didn't have one. Nobody signed up for one. And Danny came to me afterward. He said, "I have a story to tell." And he's just looking for a chance to tell it. So I thought this would be a really good chance for Danny to come up and tell his story. Because he's got a story about something good. And of course, Danny, you know what? You're going to have some walk-up music today. So I want to invite you to come forward to share with us something good. Come on up. Gotta wait for the whole song.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you people this morning. A church family. I thank very much of you. Thank you for being here this morning.